Hi, I'm Andy.
And I'm Hayley.
And this is episode 24 of
Have You Not Seen?
Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, everybody.
I hope you're doing well.
Yes, enjoying the sunshine.
Well, wherever you are.
Yes, oh yeah.
Enjoying the weather wherever you are. In your house.
Indoors.
Yeah.
Or garden.
Sure. Or public place.
A safe distance.
Yeah. Let's get straight to this.
Yes.
Because this is a little bonus episode because it's going to have little to no actual interesting content.
Some people will find this very interesting.
Hopefully.
I don't know if I will.
We are looking at the 2005 smash hit.
Okay.
Goal.
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 That's goal.
Goal. Well, we'll get into that later. What do you think the film Goal is about?
Football? I thought it was older than 2005. That does surprise me. I'm basing that on absolute. I have no idea what
to be honest, if you'd asked me before I looked into this when this film was released, I'd have said 2001, maybe.
Oh, no, I was thinking like, but I think it's because I have Escape to Victory in my head. I was thinking it was maybe an 80s or 90s film.
Right. Okay.
I think it's going to be about football players.
Great.
Not about the fans as such. I think it's going to be about trying to make it on the pitch, but then also personal life might get involved. I think it's going to be that. What is the goal?
Right, okay, great.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of context. You don't care or know anything about football, really.
I know enough to have got me some dates in the first year of uni with some football fans.
Can you name the top four teams in the Premier League before the lockdown?
United. Liverpool, because they were famously hadn't got to the top in like 26 years.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is it 26 years?
I can't remember the number of years, but yeah, sure.
Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea and Arsenal.
Three out of four there. You missed out Leicester City.
Oh no, I would have got them. I would have said they were bottom. Relegation zone, as some may call it.
Well, Leicester, of course, won the league, didn't they?
Did they?
Famously, a few years ago.
Last year?
2016. It was a big deal.
Good for them.
Yeah, well, very good.
Did
for
no
them.
One else play? Is that why they won?
Oh, slam from the Stoke-on-Trent. The Stoke City shirt-owning Hayley there. So let's get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of fun.
Yes.
Here's the trailer.
Okay.
I'm sure you've all seen this film by now. let's go
to
watch it.
To be fair, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably will have seen it. Because
I don't know.
They make people that haven't watched it maybe skipping this one.
Yeah, that very, very true. Right, here's the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Go grab your refreshments for the podcast listening.
I think we have like popcorn, but we're coming to the end of our 2-week shop, so the supplies are getting low of fun stuff.
Yes, they certainly are. Wait, let's get on with it. Here's the trailer.
Bye.
See you in a couple of minutes. Bye.
In the city of dreams.
Santiago, what are you doing?
Santiago Muniz had a day job and a night job.
Hey, boss. I've been a busboy now for 6 months. Why can't I be a waiter?
This Chinese restaurant. You're not Chinese.
Quiet!
But every other moment, he lived for the game.
He's quite a player.
What's your name, son?
Santiago Muniz.
If you get yourself to England, Newcastle United will give you a trial.
That's a big club.
Very big club.
It's okay to have dreams, son, but people like us have to work for a living.
There's always plan B. You win the lottery.
Now, for his family.
You deserve this chance, Santiago. Take it.
He'll pursue a dream 6,000 miles from home.
I have a tryout for Newcastle United.
You want to lay off the black pudding?
What is it exactly?
You don't want to know.
This spring.
He's jet-lagged, nervous. He's never seen mud before.
Maybe
Maybe you don't have the stamina for the English game.
Are they awesome? There you go.
I'll be better tomorrow, I promise.
There's not going to be a tomorrow, Santiago.
He's grown up in poverty and hardship, and his only way out is his skill with the ball.
Juanes, just wanted to see what it felt like to be in this field.
You think you deserve it?
I know I do.
From Touchstone Pictures.
It is now quite a day for this young man.
One man's extraordinary journey.
That's my son.
That's my boy, Santiago.
Is about to begin. Kuno Becker. Goal. The dream begins this spring.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. No! Nowhere!
No quotes from this.
No quotes. Goal!
Well, we've just watched Goal.
You forgot you were doing this then, didn't you?
You for the first time.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I really enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I don't think there was much about actual football in it.
No?
I know very, very little about football.
Yes.
As you very well know.
I do know that.
And now the rest of the world knows. You'd probably be able to guess talking to me for
How many footballers
minutes.
Did you recognise in this?
Alan Shearer.
Yes, which I was very impressed with, yeah. Doing the weights.
I would have thought he would have been... Well, he does the commentary on Match of the Day.
He does the punditry, yeah.
Watch when I'm falling asleep. So yeah. I know him. Gerrard was in it.
Gerrard was in the final game, yep.
Yeah, very quick. Little shot of him. I was impressed at myself for that. The Liverpool... Owner? Manager?
Manager.
Manager? What's his first name begin with?
R.
What's his second name begin with?
B.
Banzini?
Banzini.
Zini?
Rafa Benitez.
Benitez! Benitez.
Yeah. So he actually managed Liverpool, he went on to manage Newcastle as well. Just a little bit.
Well, I know he managed Liverpool at least in 2007. Because that's when I went to university and one of my flatmates was a massive Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
So I remember that and I pretended to be a Liverpool fan.
You just want anyone to like you, don't you?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I'm over that now. But when I was 21, it was very, well, 19.
Yeah.
19. It was,
So Liverpool won the Champions League with Rafa.
Okay.
So he's a bit of a legend at the club.
Okay.
That's
about it. I recognise through context a couple of other ones, but I couldn't tell you the
Beckham.
Oh, I recognise Beckham.
Don't forget Beckham.
Beckham looks better now.
He does look better. He has aged very well.
Yeah. It was. He looked like he was sort of clinging on to looking young.
That was 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine... Well, remember Beckham at the time with all the hairstyles and stuff like that. That was when he had the bleach blonde tips and stuff.
I never saw the appeal of Beckham.
But Beckham now, absolutely. Is
Would you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Who wouldn't? You missed Zinedine Zidane, one of the best players of all time.
Bless you.
And he was, so when Santiago speaks to the two Spanish guys.
Yeah, I got, they were, must have been footballers through context.
Yeah,
but
so one of them is actually French, Zidane, who played for
the
Real Madrid.
The bald one?
Yep.
The tall one?
Yep.
Yeah.
And the other one was Raul, who's a legendary Real Madrid player.
Ah, okay.
So.
Good hair.
Do you remember what David Beckham says to Santiago?
Something squeaky.
Something very squeaky. He says, "You'll keep up the good work or whatever, and you'll play at Real Madrid one day."
Oh yes.
So there are three films to this series.
No, there's not.
Which we are going to watch. Don't worry, we don't.
Is he?
So it's his story.
Is he in them all?
Santiago's story.
Is it the same Santiago?
Yeah. He's the actor.
Because he was very good.
Did you like him? Yeah.
Is he a footballer?
Oh God, no. I mean, I am a very, very poor footballer, but I, you know, watch a lot of football. Everything about his movement and stuff was just so awkward to watch.
Well, when he was doing the sort of training, it was very tight on his upper torso. I don't think there was any football work going on there.
No. Anything that was decent on the ball was not him.
Yeah. except when they, which there was a couple where he was like shooting at the goal, and I said to you, I was like, I'm sure I could do that.
Well, I understand what they were doing. They were trying.
Literally an open.
Yeah.
His big shot was through.
Oh, 10 like, yards.
Three people. There were no, there was no blonde blocking him.
So in the reserve game.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? So that one, if you notice, well, the goalkeeper dies the complete wrong way. And that's one of my issues with football films in general. Sport films, I think, get this wrong quite a lot of the time. Although I guess baseball, stuff like that can do it quite well. But with football films and TV shows and everything, you always have that moment of the guy shooting and then the keeper, instead of the keeper diving the right way and just not saving it,
mm-hmm.
the keeper always has to dive the complete wrong way. You saw it with that Harris's goal, you know, the volley against Liverpool.
Well, I would say, well, this annoys you when I say this, and I would class that as cheating.
What do you mean?
He hesitated.
Oh, the penalty?
Yeah.
Against, it was the penalty again. Oh, that was, no, it wasn't against Liverpool, it was against.
That was the final game.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
It wasn't.
Because he gave up his hat trick, which was a very noble act,
no,
I thought.
No, he didn't.
He did?
That's a free kick. You're talking about Harris scoring the penalty. That was against Fulham or Chelsea? That was in the game before because Muniz won the penalty.
Am I? I've lost my train of thought.
You're talking about the game, the penultimate game.
Oh, yeah.
Harris takes the penalty, but he hesitates.
You are right.
And the keeper dives and then he puts it the other
way. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
I class that as cheating.
Okay.
Because take
it up with IFAB.
Not cheating as such, but a bit of what's the word?
Gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Lack of sportsmanship.
Sportsmanship, yeah. Lack thereof. I don't like when they hesitate.
It's a tactic.
I know it's a tactic, and it's a proven working tactic. But when they hesitate, and it's like, that's not fair.
But I think that was, I would prefer someone to just run up and mm-hmm. hit the ball. But I think that it's a bit of character work from the filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
Harris would probably do something like that, right?
Yeah, cocky. I do like, on the minimal football watching that I've done, when they do that and the goalie calls the bluff.
Oh, love it.
And doesn't move.
Love it.
And it's like, what are you going to do now, mate? You've lost your pace. Step back up.
There's a guy that plays for Chelsea called Jorginho. We're getting into a football podcast here, which mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to do. who full on like does a little skip before he shoots. So he'll run up, do a little skip, like full on jump into the air,
mm-hmm.
and then the keeper will mistime his dive and he'll put it the other way. I would love to see him miss them every single time. I think I wish he'd miss that. But he does score quite a lot. Right, so
yes.
Structurally,
yes.
If we just try and avoid the football for a little bit.
You could talk as much about football. I've humoured you for 11 years with football. I'm quite good at it, I feel. I ask appropriate questions.
I want to hear what your thoughts are. I don't want to speak about this.
What, of the football?
This is shit. It? No, it's good. So, right, tell me
okay.
Structurally.
I have wrote down
extensive notes for this
half a page. I was enjoying the film.
Yes, you were, yeah.
I was
pleased with your level of engagement.
Yeah. There was parts that I was genuinely, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought the start was a relative for the film. It was actually very powerful of him escaping with his family.
This is really exciting. Exciting stuff as Hayley battles with sleep. Let's just hope she can make it through, guys.
Apologies for mid-yawn there. It's been a long day. I say that every time, don't you? They're not even a long day. We're in quarantine.
It's just a regular day.
It's just a day. So I thought the start, I really enjoyed that. And to be honest, when it opened like that, was not expecting that. And it made me actually sort of sit up and take note of the film. I was like, oh, this is going to be a bit more than just a Bend It Like Beckham film.
Yes, well, yeah. Bend It Like Beckham is sort of similar time.
Yep.
Whether that was made. And I think the thing that surprised me watching this probably 15, at least 12 years on from watching this film before was, and knowing what happens at the end, how much I actually cared for the character.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
because
definitely.
He's you know, I was genuinely gutted when things happened to him. He did get way too many chances, and that one of the criticisms of this is that it's just nonsense. But it's, you know, it's a film.
Yeah. We did Braveheart last week, and that's all bollocks. That's true.
This is very much like Braveheart. I'm glad you agree.
It's an entertainment purposes. I was entertained by it, but the star. So, because I actually thought when they were breaking through the fence, I was thinking, oh, his mum's a bit old. So that was the grandma. You didn't actually see the mum, did you?
There were quite a few people there.
The grandma was holding the infant.
Yes.
Okay. And then she passes it to the dad. And I thought, oh, that's quite an old mum. But obviously it wasn't. It was the grandma. I did kind of want him to go back for the ball.
Yeah.
Or for the ball, I was thinking, oh, this ball's going to be some sort of significance. Like basketball when they carry Lazy Boy around.
But it was significant. It was significant.
Yeah, he left the
story.
It.
Well, no, he left it.
No, but I thought it was actually going to be like a totem sort of thing that he'd carry through his life and he'd get this old ball.
Nice.
And that.
Every time he went in his bag for his inhaler, even though I know that he didn't have that ball, I thought, oh, he's going to get that ball out. No, Lazy Boy's a good shout, actually, yeah.
So I liked...
But did you like the... Because it flashed back to that scene when he was about to get on the plane and it was the decision between doing what his father told him and going for the football, the thing he wanted to do. So...
Although, in... I didn't think that
father's
was...
Father's funeral.
No, that was a really bad analogy. Like, analogy, is that the word? Of that he was using it as like... No, at that time, your father was completely right. Yeah, leave the football.
100%.
So for that to be his decision of like, no, I went with my father then, I should have gone with the football. Like, no, because you'd be in prison now.
Well, they would have got caught, right?
Yeah.
The guys were right there.
Yeah.
How are they escaping?
Maybe it's like one of those things that like, they literally were like, we're on the other side of the line now. Woo, can't get me. I don't know.
No, they can. Because they could just say, where are your papers?
Yeah. Anyway, that aside, I thought it was a good length of the start. I liked how they set up that the nana, the grandma, was
the goodie.
Was very good. I love that she bought him the ticket. I thought that was...
That was it. You were genuinely shocked when the dad nicked the money.
Well, yeah. But when he was looking, I could buy the car. And I was like, he hasn't.
No.
No. He has? Thief! And then he had the balls to say he left in the night like a thief, or like he's a thief, he left without saying goodbye. It's like, no, you literally are a thief.
I'd like to think that was intentional.
So grandma good, dad complete arsehole. These sort of films jumping very much to the end does really annoy me. When he goes to see him watch the game, and I was like, okay, he's taking note now. How quickly did he take ownership of, that's my boy?
If I can play devil's advocate there.
Yeah, you play devil's advocate.
He's not wrong in what he was saying at the start, in that there are sort of essentially there are winners and losers, and we're losers essentially. He's lived his whole life fighting for what's best for his family. He didn't want to see his son, you know, fail.
He didn't want to see it, but he actually went out of his way to sabotage his son.
Well, that's why.
That's the thing. I get the trying to guide your offspring into the best sort of possible route for their lives, and I agree with that. He was right in saying that, like, look, be realistic, but then to actually go and steal the money and sabotage it, that was like, no, you're an arsehole.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So that's what annoyed me so much when he went to the bar and then he was like, that's my boy. It's like, no, you cannot take any sort of pride or ownership in anything that boy has achieved because you tried to sabotage it. He should have sat at the back, internalized his emotions and left because
yeah.
he, with him saying, that's my boy, and he was like, oh, come to the front, get a pint, I'll buy you a pint. It's that thing in Friends that you can't do a selfless good act or whatever it is
because good place.
Because you yeah, because you will feel
yeah, you're doing it for yourself.
You're doing it for yourself. He said that for him to get recognition that is my offspring.
Alternatively, it was purely a plot device to make the Nana aware later on in the film that he had been there.
I did think
had
that.
Had he just sat at the back? Oh, yeah, was some weird guy that looked vaguely Mexican here for the Fulham game.
Why did he need to know that his dad did that?
Because he said that he'd never watched him play. No, come on. From a human point of view, yeah. regardless of the dad being an asshole, if you find out that, oh, wow, your dad did see him play and it was the point that he made his big break, that's an important thing. I'm not disputing that he was an asshole.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The dad character really annoyed me.
Yeah, no, there was almost nothing redeeming about him.
Amazing teeth.
He was recognisable, right?
He was. Who was he?
No idea.
He's been a baddie in something.
He's just a sort of jobbing. Where is he?
He's had his teeth done.
Where is he here? He's been in quite a few things, I think, that we would have seen over the years. Nothing jumping out like.
I was very, very happy with the buddy.
Oh, he was the dad in Ugly Betty.
There we go. Yeah. That's where I know him from.
Yeah, nice.
The buddy, which we'll go on to his character.
The Harris, the blonde
character. Is that what his name was? I was like, I know him. Why do I know him?
Well, go on. Where'd you know him?
Well, I was trying to place him because I was like, he hasn't got blonde hair and he's got a weird accent. He's got a weird voice in it. And then it dawned on me just literally like, boom. He's baby Troy, isn't he?
Pollux Troy
in Face Off.
Face Off,
which we have taught our 2-year-old.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We need to reintroduce him
face
to that.
Off. He said it way too cheaply. But yeah, no, where's he from?
He's also in Jurassic Park 3, American Hustle as well.
Oh, nice.
He's from Boston, Massachusetts.
So is he American?
Yeah.
Because he was very convincing as the sort of Cockney Londoner.
He was an interesting character, wasn't he?
I liked him. I thought that he was going to be more sinister than he actually ended up being. He actually ended up being a nice person. I thought that they were full on when he went to, it was like, can I have a word with you, after they had the pictures taken. I thought he was full on going to throw him under the bus, but and they're like, oh.
There wasn't enough time left in the film for Santiago to get past that one.
I know, I liked him as a character.
Yeah, it's good. I think most of the characters are good.
The token bully on the team.
Yes,
I did not get that character at all.
Okay,
if you've got. One would imagine that as this, although this film did not show it, but how one would imagine footballing is so competitive. If you've got a complete dick in the, not even reserve team, he hadn't even made the reserve team. He just seemed to be going out trying to do leg breakers and that. Why would he not get binned off?
Because you need those players in football.
What, to try and hurt? Nicky Butt? No, but he wasn't that level.
No.
That's what I'm saying, is that if he was top standard level and he was just like a bit of a thug player, but still had the skills to back it up, I get that. This guy just seemed to be there to try and injure the up and coming players. And it was like, but it's for your own team.
But didn't what's his face, the guy, Greg?
I'm Greg.
I'm old Greg. Glenn Foy, sorry. His mate. And did you recognize him, by the way?
No.
You did. Stannis Baratheon, is he?
No, he's not. Yes, he is. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He's got a lot less hair. He was, I liked him.
He was good.
I don't know, accent was
a bit all over the place. Go on.
Where was he, where's he actually from? Because he was meant to be Scottish, wasn't he?
He's from London. Yeah, he was meant to be Scottish. I don't know why that was relevant. I don't know why you'd do that. He's in Game of Thrones, yeah, Darkest Hour.
Is there people from Geordie Land that listen to this? Are there a lot of Scottish people in Newcastle?
Why would you say that?
Because there was Billy Elliot's dad.
There's Glenn Foy from Goal.
Is that his name? Billy Elliot's dad.
No, the Glenn Foy from Goal. There's two Scottish people in Newcastle.
Yeah, but no, that it just seemed like it was an actual, like, artistic choice to have them as Scottish.
I didn't get that.
Did you not?
I didn't understand why it needed to be Scottish at all.
No, that's what I mean. That it was like, it seemed very deliberate. That it was like, why would they not make them? I understand having Billy Elliot's dad. For people that don't know who Billy Elliot's dad is, what was the character? He was like the second coach manager?
Oh, in this film?
Yeah.
Is he Billy Elliot's dad?
Yeah.
Is he? All right, yeah. Okay.
Which is quite interesting because I know him as Billy Elliot's dad. He's been in loads of other stuff as well. But
the nice coach.
Yeah.
Ah, right.
That's Billy Elliot's dad. I don't know. Who, ironically, I was expecting to be an arsehole because I know him so well from Billy Elliot, which was 2000, so 5 years before this. He's an arsehole.
Right.
He's
a Muniz father type figure.
He is, but he's an arsehole, but he also does love Billy. And he's doing, it's very actually similar. The mum died and left two kids, not through her choice, obviously. I'm sure she didn't want to. And the mum left on the other one. And yeah, I was expecting him to be an arsehole.
He was probably my favourite character.
I did like him. I really wanted him when he went in and was like, have you got something to tell me, lad? I was like, just tell him you've got asthma. It's not like you got the plague. He's like, I'm sure they'll get you an inhaler. But I think that was maybe, obviously it was plot point to show that he was, that there was like this thing, this secret that he had. And I would imagine, well, they say, don't they? It was like, oh, well, you can get the acupuncture and stuff like that. I don't think having asthma would be as big of a deal.
No, well, I mean, Paul Scholes, I think, had asthma. You know, some top players have asthma.
Well, a lot of people have asthma. Yeah. Just don't crush his inhaler.
No.
Dick.
Well, so Glenn Foy talked about this, that dick you just referred to, the thug in the reserve team.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying about some people just don't have the flair.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's it's resentment.
Yeah.
On that player's part, and you can understand that, right?
Oh,
if you're a player that's he looks probably 30 or whatever, mm-hmm. and he sees this kid coming in, he's more talented than him, he resents him.
I get that. I get the resentment aspect of it, but I don't get why they would keep him.
Yeah.
I just don't get that. Why would you keep someone that is injuring your own players? And you're keeping the player that is injuring your own players. But,
good point.
Yeah.
Should have words.
I was surprised at the start when it was in America, when it was in LA, and it was like a soccer. I was like, oh no, it's going to be a soccer film.
Well, when Glenn Foy, Stannis Baratheon, said soccer.
Yeah. Well, the daughter said soccer.
The
daughter said soccer.
And she was English, and I was thinking, well, God. Yeah. I thought the same.
Well, her English accent, I imagine she probably was English, but when she started speaking, and it seemed like it was dubbed, and that was like, oh, God, it's going to be a, oh, yeah, we're English, but we call everything soccer.
Like, no, yeah, exactly. No, I was worried about that.
If we do ever get the chance to emigrate to America or Canada, I would massively doubt that if we're having a conversation between ourselves that we would refer to a football game as soccer.
Yeah, for sure.
You'd refer to it out and about the same as you would with like trash instead of putting the bin out on that. But
do you think there was anything relevant in the fact that his grandson, his daughter said that his grandson didn't even like soccer?
Trying to get a substitute kid.
That's why maybe he took... I know he literally turns around and sees Santiago. But maybe that's probably a little bit of a...
You imagine if he's the dickhead dad in that relationship. That like...
He just, oh, yeah, screw your son.
Yeah. In Santiago's dad, if Santiago's dad's got like this whole other film that is him trying to coach someone that really, really wants to be a gardener.
Yeah. And my son isn't interested.
And it's just this whole other storyline. And that's what this is.
And the other gardener kills him. And we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that film?
You fall on your sprinkler system. I've got a question for you in regards to the training ground.
Okay, yeah. Oh, right.
Is that really the training ground?
No. Well, so the indoor one may well be the Newcastle training ground.
Mm-hmm.
The honest answer is I don't know. Obviously, they had a lot of access to Newcastle United for this, as you can see. So it may well be. However, there is no way that a Premier League team would be training on that pitch, you know, in the first trial.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Especially, not least because they have an indoors facility.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the quality, so the thing that really lets this film down, for me at least, was the quality of the sport.
I thought you were going to say turf.
was the muddy ground.
Mm-hmm.
No, the quality of the action in the training settings, I just think is really poor and really, really kind of stands out. It's really cringy, actually. The stadium stuff, the actual games, I think they did really well because obviously they incorporated the real life players.
I wonder how they did that. Do you reckon that they did it at like half time?
So I'd imagine so I think there's I'm sure in Creed or something, the more recent sort of Rocky film, they got Creed to go to, or Rocky or something, I've not seen it, to go to Goodison Park where Everton play,
right.
And they filmed something there, I think. I remember something about Sylvester Stallone being at Goodison Park. So they have, you know, Hollywood has previous for filming at sort of halftime. Yeah, it's a good point. Halftime or maybe after,
because that was a full
stadium.
Didn't seem like it was the sort of thing, the sort of movie that would have the budget to create that crowd. Well,
so from what I gather from looking at the research and from sort of history, what actually happened, the how to describe this, the actual action you saw of the players, they didn't film that themselves. They were games that were happening.
All right.
They used footage of games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd imagine actually that St. James's Park being full was actual from a game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they filmed sections of the crowds for Anna Friel and whoever. So but to just expand on my point about the action in the training ground, the times when they had Gavin Harris and they had Santiago on the pitch with the other players in the actual stadiums looked really good and actually worked really well. Which is why it was disappointing during the training things. I just think it looked so crap.
Mm-hmm.
They're just completely...
Because when they were in the locker room, when he was sat in the locker room before the London game, were they all the real players? They all looked like footballers.
Yeah. So you had Jermaine Genus, James Milner was on the pitch. Boomsong, I think, Janaline Boomsong.
How old was... Shearer
would have been towards the end of his career. Early 20s, mid-30s.
Yeah, because he looked about 40, but he's like, he doesn't seem to... That's
because of the hair, I think.
Didn't look any different than he does now.
I think it's the hair, isn't it? The fact he didn't have much hair.
Maybe.
But no, I'd say
He's quite stocky as probably, well. Do you know more? Like, he's not.
Oh, he's quite nice. No, quite a tall guy.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe I mean more his actual physique. He's muscular.
Yeah.
He's not.
Well, he's
like,
a number nine. He's a striker, like a proper centre forward.
What's that mean?
So sort of target man, good in the air, strong.
Wouldn't you want to be light for that?
No, because you've got two centre football centre backs. Typically, will be big, strong.
Are they the ones able, that score? Or are they the ones?
The centre backs are your defenders. So
okay.
How can I explain this?
Netball.
Gary Neville's a fullback, less so. So you know Jamie Carragher.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
He's big, isn't
I'm
he?
Trying to think he's of players lanky. That. Yeah, he's. I'm trying to think of players that will actually.
Because Rooney is a striker.
Yes.
But I have heard before people say that he has the physique more of a defender because he's big.
I mean, he's overweight most of the time.
Is that what it is, Mom?
Or he certainly was for United in the early months of the season. But what I'm trying to say is, defenders are typically, centre backs at least, are typically big, strong, mm-hmm. can head the ball away, muscle you off the ball, that kind of thing.
Well, like rugby players.
Sort of, yeah, not quite that big, okay. But yeah, sort of like that. So to be a centre forward, you have to match them, you have to be that strong, you have to be that tall.
Oh, okay.
So that's what Shearer was. Shearer was a fantastic goal scorer. So he was. So he was there seemingly not for one of the games because Gavin Harris took a penalty. There's no way that Alan Shearer wasn't taking that penalty if he was on the pitch. So that's just nonsense.
Is he meant to be better than Shearer, though?
No way. No. I mean, just no way. No. Alan Shearer was a Geordie legend. There's no way.
Is he Geordie?
Yeah.
Is he?
So he played for Southampton, Blackburn, and then he signed for Newcastle. He could have signed for Man United from Blackburn, but he chose to sign for Newcastle.
Closer to home, isn't it?
Because he's a Geordie. Pardon?
Closer to home for him.
Yeah, sure. So, absolutely, you know, complete fantastic football. Anyway, yeah, so there were a lot of Newcastle players.
Mm-hmm.
So getting on to the last game, so Muniz assists one of the goals for Gavin Harris,
okay.
the volley, and then the winning free kick. What did you make of that? The winning goal.
I totally didn't just zone out when you started saying people's names. The end free kick.
The goal that he scores to win the game.
Did he? I don't know.
You just realised you don't care.
It went in.
So he is a right-footed player.
Oh yeah, it was the wrong foot. I did notice
and
that.
He took the free kick with left foot. The reason for that is it's quite interesting. That goal was a real goal.
Okay.
That was scored by a Newcastle player against Liverpool. That was Laurent Robert, who was a very good free kick taker for Newcastle.
Don't have to tell me.
At the time. And he scored, that was his goal, Laurent Robert.
And he's left-footed.
Left-footed, free kick, sort of free kick cross shot went in. So that's why. But it just, why you would choose that goal, I mean, I guess maybe you have to for editing purposes. But it just doesn't make any sense because he would never take that free kick with his left foot. So it's just completely stupid.
Did he kick it with his left foot, though?
Yeah.
And it didn't? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like our son.
Our son is, I hope so.
He's left-footed.
If he likes playing football, I hope he is left-footed.
He needs to learn on his little southy kicking, though, because he literally goes, kick, every time he kicks the ball.
Right, so the budget for this was $33 million.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
More than...
Well, okay, so they actually struck a deal for $50 million with Adidas. You will have noticed quite a lot of Adidas stuff. A little bit of Nike in there as well. But so basically, Newcastle, sponsored by Adidas,
mm-hmm.
Fulham.
And Northern Rock.
Yes, well done. Not anymore, obviously, they've gone bust.
Oh.
That was pre-financial crisis. Fulham, who they played, Adidas.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool, who they played, Adidas. Chelsea, who they played, also Adidas. So everything really, David Beckham, Adidas, athlete. Zidane, Raul all Adidas adverts.
I don't know, I just got punked as bad. Have you seen Wayne's World? When this and he's like, I don't know what you mean about selling out, and he's got Nike hat, Nike thing, and the seller everywhere eating Doritos. That would have been very funny if like Beckham had walked in with like a backwards cap on.
Adidas stuff. But the way, I mean, this was product placement for Adidas. The training balls were Champions League balls, which
they were pretty
Adidas.
Balls. I like the balls.
Did you like the pretty balls? Mm-hmm. So they were, yeah, Champions League balls.
I wanted to ask for them because they were. So they were playing with them the whole time, weren't they? They were playing with them when they were
in
practicing.
Training. So in the reserve games, you seem to have a Nike ball, which I thought was weird. Total 90 Nike ball when they were playing Man United reserves,
right.
Which I thought was weird. But United were with, they are now with Adidas, but were with Nike at the time.
Right.
So that seems a weird outlier. You know, I don't see why they wouldn't have got another Adidas team in for that. Weird. But yeah, so basically there could have been, there's a parallel universe where they actually struck a deal with Nike and they were discussing a deal with both companies. Mm-hmm. And if it was going to be Nike, then instead of Real Madrid players like Zidane and Beckham, you would have had Barcelona players.
Oh, nice.
And instead of Newcastle, it would have been Arsenal or something like that. Ah. So none of this was really married to...
I did wonder why it was like the be-all and end-all that he went and played for Newcastle.
Just their circumstance.
Hmm.
So yeah, it could well have been Arsenal, Man United even, probably not, but, you know, it could have been if they'd had agreed to deal with Nike.
I did like completely nothing to do with football, but I did think some of the establishing scenic shots of Northern England were beautiful.
Really good, yeah.
Really, really good. There was a lovely shot of when he's running across the beach and the drone or helicopter, whatever they use, went across and the sea is so choppy and it's like, that's what it's like up there.
Mm. It was great and the waves were hitting the barrier and going over.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
And I like that it was in Whitby, which was a personal favourite of ours.
Certainly is. Good fish and chips.
Very good fish and chips. Because when we went to Newcastle, we did a road trip via Whitby.
We did indeed.
It was lovely.
So the budget we're talking about, so mm-hmm. they got a $50 million deal, deal with Adidas. Quite a big deal, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So the budget for the film was 33. It grossed 27.
Ooh.
So it will have made money. Mm-hmm. DVD sales. It was quite a big film, relative, you know, for quite a, you know, a niche subject matter.
I'd imagine that it was popular. And I bet it's been popular for like VHS sales.
Yeah. VHS. I think you're right. Yeah.
DVDs.
Yeah, Betamax.
top loader.
I think one of the things that it goes in its favor is the authenticity of it, because you can make this film and not have any of the licensing,
mm-hmm.
not have any of the Premier League stuff. I mean, Martin Tyler doing the commentary, said you recognised his voice.
FIFA?
Yeah, FIFA, Sky Sports. Yeah. It just legitimises everything. You have Newcastle, you have the Premier League, you have mm-hmm. all the players. It just makes it feel like you are actually in that world.
And you know what? I think that they use the actual players the right limited amount, with the exception of Beckham, who should just never speak. No one really spoke in this. It was just sort of like, hey, someone in the background. Or do you know, I liked that they didn't try and shoehorn in, with the exception again of the David Beckham scene, they didn't really try and shoehorn in, or let's like, who's this chancer sort of,
yeah
do you know, those annoying lines that really pull you out of a movie when you're definitely. Like, oh, this is not real, because it's that. Yeah.
You actually had a moment with Alan Shearer with the weights,
yeah,
which is actually quite a funny
nice.
Way of,
yeah.
of doing it, yeah. But I know what you mean. You could have easily had like Jermaine Genus or Kieran Dyer or something going, got a load of this guy or something, and yeah,
it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, yeah,
that would have, it would have been like a Domino's advert from the mid-noughties. Although, speaking of the mid-noughties, I very much enjoyed the little walk down memory lane of the fashion for the clubs and things like that. It was so bad in the mid-90s. All those girls,
mid-90s,
mid-noughties even. Yeah, I did not go clubbing in the mid-90s. The mid-
oh, Anna Friel She was dressed essentially like a prostitute.
Oh,
she
that's went what you wore like. That's what you dressed like.
She looked like a prostitute every time she left the house.
Mid-noughties fashion was insane. It was horrible. It was all backless and little tiny, tiny little denim frayed skirts with massive belts.
Whoa, we're talking about football. Don't bring fashion into this.
I really enjoyed it.
We've already alienated enough people.
Look at all the guys to switch off now.
So a little bit of a gaffe in this film structurally doesn't make a lot of sense, which you will not have picked up on.
Okay.
Because I mean,
is it a football thing?
Yes, it is, yeah. Okay. So they sign Gavin Harris.
Yes.
They have the press conference. I remember the start.
Yep.
And one of the questions is, do you think you'll make it into Europe?
Yep.
So they have to finish in the top four to make it into the Champions League. And he says, we've got to take maximum points. We've got three games left,
mm-hmm.
which were the Fulham, Chelsea and Liverpool games.
Mm-hmm.
The issue with that is the January transfer window closes on the 31st of January.
Mm-hmm.
So you've still got February, March, April, May to play of the season. So you've got a dozen, if not more, games to play. It just doesn't work.
That he was transferred in.
They couldn't have signed him.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
No, well, why would you? Yeah. Muniz is fine because he's a free agent, so you can get him in, that's fine. But it doesn't make any sense. I'm surprised you didn't pick that up.
I didn't. And I just to make a point, I was insulted at that point when I said, oh, that's Billy Elliot's dad or something. And you were like, no, it's not. Have you not been watching? I was like, I have been watching. I did not mean that person, sir.
I thought you meant Sean Pertwee.
Was he the manager?
Yeah.
Was he based on a real person?
I imagine he's based on an agent. Yeah.
But he's not based on that Newcastle manager at the time.
The manager or the agent, sorry.
No, the
manager. The manager of Newcastle at the time wouldn't have been German.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, certainly they were keen to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if they were literally like, right, okay, we're going to do a Tony Pulis. Pulis. Damn it. He's the only one I know.
Bless you. I can't remember who the manager of Newcastle was in 2005.
But it wasn't him.
No.
They're not trying to make a parody. Like
no, I don't think so. I think it was. I thought he was quite good, actually.
I liked him.
He had
changey colour glasses.
So Stellan Skarsgård from Good Will Hunting, you'll recognise him.
What part was he?
He was. Let me just find him. You'll know who he is. There he is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, good actor. He was actually part of this film. He was cast, I'd imagine, as the manager. But he actually left. So the original director for this was Michael Winterbottom, who...
Are you on Casting Alternatives now?
No.
You've not done the
No, I'm not on Casting Alternatives. This is an alternative. Oh, it is a bit.
Casting Alternatives!
Damn it! No! I've got other things to say.
You can switch back.
Okay. Let's do Casting Alternatives now.
You got to do the jingle.
Casting Alternatives!
Very good.
Yeah! So Stellan Skarsgård, it doesn't say specifically for the manager's role, but I'd imagine he would have fit right in for that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was attached to the film when Michael Winterbottom was directing it.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Winterbottom, quite a celebrated director. Mm-hmm. He'd done The Trip and numerous other films and stuff.
Yeah.
But he actually left. So he did two nights of filming at football stadium, mm-hmm. the reserve game, I'd imagine. And he actually got sacked, or he got taken off the project when the producers saw that he was looking to make more of a documentary looking drama, right, rather than just the straight drama that mm-hmm. it is. So they weren't happy with his direction for it, basically. So mm-hmm. They removed him from the project, and then Stellan Skarsgård walked at that point
as
well.
Did he go do Nymphomaniac at this point?
Yeah, I don't think it was quite then, but he didn't fancy it without Michael Winterbottom, so
fair
which
enough.
Is fair enough. So Casting Alternatives, I have two.
Okay.
Would
the
you
grammar?
Like... No. Oh, you.
Oh, do I have to pick one? Anna Friel.
Anna Friel, no, I've not got her.
I think her. Is she Geordie?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
She seems to do a different accent, everything I've seen her in.
Yeah, and were you surprised to see her in this? Did you think...
When it popped up at the start, I was like, ah, because she's very good. She's been in lots of very good things. She was in a great thing called Watermelon with Billy Elliot's brother, Jamie Draven, where she gets pregnant from like a one-night stand.
You're a big fan of Jamie Draven.
I am, and he's not done anything else. Come on, Jamie.
So the
work it,
baby. So Santiago,
yes,
was played by Kuno Becker,
yeah,
or probably Kuno Becker, who's not. He did a lot of Spanish language stuff before this, and has done very little after. He actually replaced Diego Luna, who
I know that name.
You do know that name. He was in Rogue One, the man from Rogue One. So he, amongst other things, of course, he's obviously doing quite a lot at the moment.
He was great in Rogue One.
It was great. What else is he in? I forget. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Maybe. But he just left to work on other projects.
No
specifics. So the guy who ended up playing Santiago actually called him and said, why didn't you take this role? You know, what do I need to know? And it was just because he had some other stuff to work on.
Nice.
So it ended up going to this guy. He's not done much since. He was in the three Goal films.
I thought he was good.
He was good. There was bits of it not so good. I think the physical, the sort of sporting aspect in the, you know, you could tell he didn't really know how to play football.
You say that, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I could.
I thought, no, he was good.
The director of this was a gentleman by the name of Danny Cannon, which is a fantastic name. Do you recognise that name at all?
No, Mr. Cannon.
He directed... one for you American listeners. He directed Judge Dredd.
The original?
Yeah.
God, bloody love that film. I know you do. It's nothing like the comic book.
It's nothing like Goal.
It's nothing like Goal, no.
But he directed that.
Oh, as if... You can do it! Didn't pop up in this. Pops up in all of them. What's his name?
Sylvester Stallone.
No! Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider.
I forgot he's in that, yeah.
Yeah!
I feel like they could have got him if they wanted him.
Rob Schneider. He would have been playing like some like highly offensive gardener or something at the grounds or.
Nice. He could have played a Mexican.
He could have played a Mexican, yeah.
Famously.
Yeah.
So a couple of things before we finish, because, you know, I'm sure you've got nothing more to say on this.
I've literally hit the bottom of my 5 bullet points.
Well done. So when Glenn Foy, the Santiago's guardian angel, as it were, rings the chairman, the manager of Newcastle at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So it was beautiful sunshine in LA.
Yep.
It would have been 8:30 in the evening.
Oh, okay.
In LA. So, you know, that's a bit of
The kids playing in the pool outside.
It's probably not ideal.
Right.
So I don't know why they didn't just say 1:30 or 12:30 or it's midnight or whatever.
Well, 3:30 is the witching hour.
That specific time.
3:30 is apparently, I listen to lots of like morbid podcasts. Oh, shout out to the Morbid podcast. Apparently 3:30 is when like ghosts and that wake up. And I always wake up for a wee at 3:30 and think,
Just ghost wee.
Just my brother's. Yeah, God, you don't want a ghost wee.
We're on bladder watch.
Yeah.
And lastly, the scene where the manager kicks the ball to the goal and says the ball travels faster, that can travel faster than you.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a sort of iconic scene in the film. And I remember my coach at the time, so I was been 14 15, my coach at the time thought he was being really clever, really cool, by doing that scene for us. So he was trying to teach us about passing the ball and not running with it so much, and he did that scene, and we all just absolutely ripped the piss out of him for trying to copy Goal. Because
did he not think that any of you will have seen it or something?
I don't know what I don't know what he was expecting, but it wasn't as cool as he thought it was. Right. And he didn't do it with any sort of humor in it. He was doing it like a genuinely serious...
Oh, bless him.
Yeah. No, not
this wasn't the one that went to prison.
Yeah, this is the pedophile.
This
is
the one that went to prison. Okay.
I wasn't going to mention it. But
don't feel too sad for this person. He is in prison now.
He's not in prison, I don't think.
Is he out?
Shout out to...
Yeah.
No, yeah, he got convicted for bad things.
Yeah.
Not, you know, derails the podcast a little bit.
Well, as soon as you brought it up, it was all in my head was going...
Was
this the paedophile one?
It was the paedophile one. Yeah. So maybe a bit of social embarrassment was the least he deserved.
Yeah.
But I have very vivid memories of that. Don't mm-hmm. worry, nothing else. of him doing this and thinking he was the coolest guy in the world.
He's not, people.
He's not. He's far from it.
He's a pervert.
Dear me. And on that note, wow.
We haven't named him, so it's fine. Don't name him.
Oh, I really want to now.
What? Was this Preston?
It was in... No, I can't go into that much detail.
This is in Chorley in the mid-noughties, if you're so inclined. Google it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything.
I really, really, for some reason, want to say his name, but I'm not going to. What a terrible way to end this podcast. thank you for it. Well, that was even better. Thank you. Cough into the mic.
I leaned away. I coughed. I did the vampire one. Yeah. Really enjoyed it.
I'm really glad you did.
I was a bit when you said it's nearly 2 hours. Like, oh my God. But I got many snacks in.
We over-snacked, I think, mm-hmm. but it was good.
Oh, no. I
initially brought this up because I wanted to sort of make a point about you making me watch films that I don't want to watch.
Okay, yeah.
And actually, it proved the point that I've enjoyed the films you've made me watch, mm-hmm. for the large part, and this is one where you probably didn't expect...
I didn't expect to enjoy it. I was looking forward to watching a film that was probably one that I would never have picked.
Yeah.
However, I think unlike you, I wasn't like, I'm never watching this film, Amy. Oh, it's good. That's what you... How many times have you said, like, I'm not watching Braveheart because I'm Scottish and everyone tells me that if you're Scottish, you got to watch Braveheart. It's very good, wasn't it?
It was very good.
Yeah. We don't know what we're doing next, do we?
I've got an idea of what I want to do next.
Oh, do you want to say? Is it another research?
It'll be a you research.
Oh, okay. And
I don't know if we've got access to it.
Oh.
I don't know if you want to watch it.
Oh, fair enough. Let's have this discussion.
No, go on, no. Let's put pressure on it.
Okay, go on.
Pretty Woman.
Yay!
I was thinking the other day.
You've not seen Pretty Woman?
No. Oh. I was thinking the other day because we were talking about Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
And obviously Richard Gere's in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not really seen many Richard Gere films.
Okay.
And I like him in everything I've seen. Yep. Similar to...
you'll love him in Dirty Dancing.
Similar to Swayze.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing.
And you'll love Julia Roberts, because I bet you've not seen many Julia Roberts films, either.
Not really, no.
No.
So, Pretty Woman, if you fancy it.
Tart with a Heart. Yeah! I'm very much up for that.
Excellent. Right, thank you very much for listening. We've got quite a lot out of that one. Nearly an hour.
Wow.
Well done.
Well done.
Football!
Yeah. Andy did used to do a football podcast, by the way. What's it called?
No, let's not go there. Let's go back to the paedophile.
Excuse me. I wanted to put this in for all the times when I fluff it and you go, I'm not cutting this out.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Do you want to fill for a minute?
I could talk about your podcast.
Oh, thank you. We did it for a little while. It was good fun.
It was a football podcast.
Yeah.
I have never listened to it.
No, why would you?
I don't like football.
Yeah. This is going back a while, but it was good fun today.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
if you really want to watch it, you've got to search for that.
you can find out if you want.
Why do you always say watch it?
I don't know, because you're
always
weird.
Always say watch
you're a bit,
it.
You're a bit soft, aren't
you? A bit soft. A bit sensitive.
Right, thank you very much for listening. We will be back with an actual proper film very soon.
That was a proper film.
Oh.
That was a proper film. Just because it was yours.
Do you want to watch Goal 2?
Don't put no way in hell. Don't. not put yourself down. Don't be like Santiago's dad, not believe in yourself.
Yes, believe in yourself.
And it's you.
Bye.